Hey, dear sister, I just saw your email about listening to the recordings of Persis dealing, you know, me dealing with the Persis thing and how I would get offended by it. And here's just a quick thought. First of all, you know, my pat answer for this is the answer right out of the Bible that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, right? So obviously that's the end goal, is to get the grace. You know how, like, I'm loving Persis now without getting anything in return. This isn't coming from me. So somebody would say, you know, how are you doing this, Michael? Well, the reason how I'm doing this is I am receiving the grace from God. But there were practices, there were practical things I did before I received the grace. And one of the things that I may suggest to you to think about is I have found a very big blessing in pouring out my heart to God and to my voice recorder. You know, the Lord has called me to capture these things. But I go to the Lord and I tell him, it doesn't do any good if I just tell my voice recorder, Lord, you heard what she said. You know, I'm going to the Father with these things. Lord, this really hurts me. And so it's not that I'm not offended. It's not that I can do it. I can't. I couldn't handle it, as evidenced by how frustrated I got in some of my recordings, right? So think about it. I'm probably more frustrated in some of my recordings than you are, maybe. So basically what I did is to get the poison out. You got to get the poison out. So it's like being bit by a snake. This is the way I see it. I really can remember this back with living with my mother. It was even worse with my mother than with Persis. Persis was always just shocking because it was devastating to me to see my wife doing this. It wasn't that I was so offended by what she was saying to me. I was so offended by the fact that she fell away from Christ. So shocked. But my mom was being used to offend me greatly. I mean, she even admitted that she would intentionally do it. And so it would be like getting bit by a snake. You might imagine that your nervous system reacts to being bit by a snake, because the poison in a snake affects the nervous system. And so you start to shake, and, you know, you start to sweat and get anxious. And so the way I kind of feel like it always happened was that when somebody would offend me like this, it would be literally like I got snake bit. And, you know, the principle there is you look to the Lord and he'll heal you of that poison, that you will, you know, you will trample on snakes and scorpions. Okay. And that means you're going to deal with snakes and scorpions, but you will ultimately trample on them, and you will have been given all of power over the enemy, is what Jesus told the disciples. And so you can see I was given power over the snake. All of the snakes that I had to face, the worst snake of all has been my ex-wife. You talk about, like, when I would get a phone call or an email, it was literally like poison just shot through my whole body. Like I had just been bit, and it was like the nervous system, the heart rate would be activated, and I knew, oh, man, I'm in trouble. So you have to get the poison out until you have the grace to where the poison is not affecting you anymore. Like Paul, you know, when he's totally filled with the Holy Spirit, he's able to stick his hand in those logs, and he gets bit by a snake, and they're like, oh, he's going to die. And he doesn't die at all. It doesn't affect him at all, because God is helping him. Now he's got the grace. God doesn't even have to heal him. The poison didn't even affect him. You see? And that's kind of the way it is with me now, is that it's like the snakes can bite all they want. It doesn't affect me at all. It's, to me, it's just kind of like a mosquito bite now. It's like, just irritating. People are just generally irritating, and I see them as Satan's minions, and they're just irritating. But back in the day, it used to affect me so much. Like I say, I would have a physiological response to it. I could feel the heat developing in my body, the want to strike back or what have you. And the real practical of what I did when I was in the house is I would literally go and put my face. So if you want to follow my exact example, when Brent offends you, or for that matter, anybody, but in particular, there's nobody that can get you like your spouse. After the offense comes, slip away if you can somewhere in the bathroom, bedroom, walk around the house, backyard, anywhere you can, and, you know, cry out to God. And I literally would go into my room, shut the door, and I would get on my knees and put my face. Sometimes it'd be so bad, I'd put my face on the ground. I don't do this very often because I can't breathe. I'd love to spend a lot more time on my knees with my face on the ground, but I can't. I have such a terribly bad deviated septum that when I put my head down, it completely eliminates my ability to breathe through my nose. It becomes so distracting, and my blood fills with head, and it feels like my head's going to pop. It's really very uncomfortable. But I would get so worked up by this that I'd put myself in that situation and just say, Lord, God help me. You heard. I literally would do this. I mean, this is how practical and how non-complicated this is. It's like, Lord, you heard what was just said. Father, that hurts. And so what you do is you have the capacity in you to be hurt. It's the flesh, right? You know, the more of you that's alive, the more of you that can be offended. So God uses these offenses to bring about death and also to bring about life. And so in order for you to live, you have to first die. So you have to go through the snake bites. You have to go through these painful, deadly, taking up the cross experiences that you might live. And it's when you die, you live. And the more alive you are, because you haven't died yet into that thing, the more it's going to offend you, the more it's going to just wear you out. And that's why the Lord is allowing these things to get to us. You know, he'll allow a certain person like this, some sort of a bondage or what have you, to get in there and really begin to break you and cause you to see that you're up against something that you're not strong enough to handle. And that thing that's stronger than you is revealing something poisonous in you. There's a susceptibility to the poison of that evil from the other person that really totally violates your conscience and causes you to cry out, oh God, save me from this wretched man that I am, right? Kind of a little bit of a Romans 7 moment. So you take all those Romans 7 moments, the good I want to do, I cannot do, no, the evil I do not want to do, I cannot do that. And whatever it is, you run to the Lord with it. Sister, I'm still doing this to this day. It's just that it's different. It takes a different type of offense. I don't get offended for the same reasons, not as easily. And the reason is because I've been bit by so many snakes. It's like you develop like an immunity. It's really bizarre, but it's really the grace of Christ, right? So go and just practically tell the Lord, be honest with him about it. Lord, this is really bothering me. What my husband just said, did, whatever. This is really tough for me. And what you do is you go and you draw your strength from him. And the way I see it, this is the way I've always told anybody in your situation. And I've got enough testimonies to know when you are in a severely unequally yoked marriage, I have proof of this coming and going in my own life. God will do one of three things. If you cry out in humility, he will either give you the grace to stand up underneath of that. He will run that person off if they really are a problem, and God knows their hearts and he knows they're going to get in the way, and he's given them chance after chance like he did with my ex-wife, and he'll run them off. Or he'll change that person. But in the meantime, the focus will be on getting you right, getting your heart right in that situation. You know, we all have our pharaohs and our Egypts and that oppression, that death. So you're facing death. You know, and you can overcome that death by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. You know, you're going to see death overcome in my marriage. You're going to see, and it's a little bit of a different thing that God's doing here, because he's doing this for his glory. And there's a whole big, more complicated reason why God is doing this with Persis. But you're going to see once again, Romans 5:17, life ruling over and reigning over death. We will look at Persis and say, oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Michael, commentary. I want to make the point again that I could easily, as I'm editing these recordings, remove this very humbling, let's just say, a recording of humiliation from this recording in an effort to make myself look better, to try to whitewash my testimony at that time. And I choose not to do so. Can you see that the exact principles of the Word of God that I'm quoting about, oh death, where is your sting? And the number of other promises that God had given me about resurrection and me not being put to shame, and Isaiah 54:4, that I would remember my widowhood no more. Again, I misinterpreted all those passages, believing that it was pointing to Persis coming back from the dead. But instead, I look at those today sitting right now across the table from my beloved wife, working across the other side of the table from me. Say hello.
Hello.
She's like, oh boy, are you really doing this? But sitting across the table from her, knowing how beautiful all of those promises that God gave me are today, but yet in a different way than what I had originally expected. God is very mysterious sometimes in his dealings. Let us never forget that. And even when God doesn't give you what you want, doesn't act how you expect, doesn't cater to the time you thought, brothers and sisters, if you will continue to hold on, it is impossible with Jesus Christ that you do not see resurrection life on the other side of death. Spiritual death has no power over a Christian. It will have a hold for a time as long as it has a good purpose in the hand of our Father. But I tell you, it is amazing to me. That's why I don't want to remove these out. I want to leave them in there because it's just like, wow, God, I really believed this was what you were saying. But I'm now in that. Oh, death, where is your sting? Do you see that, brothers and sisters? Praise the Lord. May God bless you as you continue to listen. Now, if I was not drawing that grace from him daily throughout all of this, all these years, then I would not be in a position that I'm in now where I'm filled with faith and hope and have promises from God, you know, that she's going to come back. For sure, sister, God is dealing with you in this. There is no doubt about it. It is these people in our lives that are so very irritating to us, hurtful to us, that bring about the crucified life, that bring about the I quit on myself. I quit on the self life. I quit on trying to do this on my own strength. And, you know, sister, I'm still just as weak. I really believe that this is really sounds paradoxical. It sounds complicated, but in many ways, I believe I'm still just as weak today as I was then. It's just that now I've learned how to get that grace much quicker and get it and stay in it with God's help. You see? And this just have come with years of being offended and hurt and all that stuff. Cause I have, you know, I'm a heart guy. I'm a feely, touchy feely, tender heart. And so tender hearted people are often, you know, injured more. And so the Lord had to really, in my instance, had to give me some thick skin to go against all my YouTube trolls and YouTube Pharisees and stuff like that. And, I kind of knew it was going to be all downhill after my ex-wife. I remember telling the Lord, I'm like, well, Lord, nobody's ever going to be able to touch me even close to this. Oh, my goodness gracious. She was used to really toughen me up. So just go and cry out to him, sister. And if you can, if you feel like it, capture how you're feeling in your recordings. That's another way of getting the poison out, either a journal or whatever. And it helps you get it out of your head. It's like a friend of mine described it this way, and then I'll be quiet. A friend of mine said, it's like, take it off of your hook, like on a meat hook, if you will, take it off of your hook and hang it on God's hook. So when the offense comes to you, what you want to do is you want to transfer the offense to God. Do you know something, sister? I can't tell you many details, but I just had to do this morning with somebody who is actually easily offended by me. And when I say things and there's issues there where the person kind of struggles with some issues with me. And I went out to the Lord and I told the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, I'm really getting tired of this with this person. And there's a part of me, Lord, that's ready to just say, hey, since you're struggling so much all the time, let me do you a favor and let me let you go your way on this. And we don't have to have this kind of relationship to where you're constantly struggling with this thing, and let me let you go. And this is a male friend of mine, just so you don't start wondering about it. But I told the Lord, I said, you know, Father, I feel like giving up sometimes because, you know, this is really difficult for me, for this person. It's a different kind of situation, but, you know, the Lord spoke to me about it. I went out and I poured my heart out to him. And then I said, Lord, you know, why are you allowing this to happen with this person? This has been going on for so long. You know, why is this happening? What is this? There's, and you know, the Lord gave me meaning this morning, and it was really encouraging to me. It was quite edifying to me. It was very ironic how what the Lord did. He, you know, like double confirmed it for me. But watch, my point is that here I was just this morning out in my prayer field telling the Lord, Father, I'm having thoughts about just getting this person out of my life. I really need you to help me to understand how you see this. And is this, you know, do you want me to continue to take up my cross and deny myself in this way? Or are you trying to separate this person and I, and we just keep trying to put patchwork on this thing here to keep it together? Because there's this particular relationship that I have that has the most bizarre dynamic to it I have of any person I've ever had with. It's very bizarre, and God's doing something really kind of interesting and specifically doing some specific work. And he's actually using me almost, if you will, like a thorn in the flesh in this person. And so this person quite often gets offended by even good things that I say, and they struggle. And it's not just been months, it's been a few years now. And it's like, so again, the point, I go out and I draw the strength from the Lord. God, give me your insight. And then suddenly I had this grace and I'm like, Lord, okay, now that you've helped me to see what's going on in this, this makes meaning. This isn't just happening for no reason. You're actually doing this to bless this person. You're doing this to humble this person and to work in this person. And God, this is great. And so you see how that turned around. It's a little bit of a different example, but you know, sister, pour the heart out to the Lord, cast all of your anxieties on him, for he cares for you and he will sustain you. And then you'll begin to draw that grace from him, and you're being honest with him and telling him, I can't, but you can. And that is the story of my life. I can't do hardly anything. I find I've become so needy and dependent upon the Lord. I can't hardly do anything without him. And yet I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I made a message recently in my journal entry where I said, I realize my flesh is atrophying. You know what muscle atrophy is? You got in that car accident. If you would have broken a bone, they would have put a cast. And you know that wherever that cast is at, that muscle is going to atrophy. And it occurred to me that when you walk with Jesus, your flesh atrophies. Your natural self begins to atrophy. It begins to shrink. It begins to be weakened. And whatever it is that you feed grows, whatever you starve dies. And so by the very nature of walking the cross-carrying life with Christ, your self-life begins to atrophy. But if you feed that self-life, if you constantly feed that God and you constantly surrender to his demands, well, then he's going to stay strong. But if you keep putting him down with the power of the cross and the grace that comes to you from doing that, I found myself saying the other day, I'm like, Lord, I can't do anything without you. And I used to be so strong, sister. I mean, I could tackle, I felt like, any problem. It doesn't matter how big it was. I mean, business owners, big problems, you know, children issues, I would throw myself. I had all this self energy. It wouldn't have mattered what it was. I had just had this energy for life to throw at these things and overcome. Again, no matter what it was, I was going to tackle that thing and overcome it. Now I'm weaker than I ever have been. And I'm like, Lord, keep me away from those things. I've become so weak in those things that I used to be so strong in, because I've learned to depend so much on God's grace, if that makes sense, and just totally needy on him. And it's really bizarre, but that is the place of strength, because then God acts on your behalf. Anyhow, hope that helps you. You are loved and appreciated and respected, sister. I know that Lord will help you. I appreciate you sharing that with me. I hope this encourages you. God bless you. Bye.